No more than 12 psukim. But what 12 psukim they are. These are 12 psukim that in a certain sense may be very, very difficult to understand, but they may again, on the other hand, open up to us a whole world of Tanakh and Jewish thought. So let's read. The 12 psukim are not going to be that easy to read. And we'll see. Watch. You know, you made David Lamut. The days for David to die drew near. Second chapter in Malachim. You may recall that the Haftorah for Parshat Chayei Sarah was the first chapter in Sefer Malachim. And there it was the story of the attempted insurrection and rebellion by Adoniyahu ben Chagit. David there with nearly his last energies rose to the challenge and he crushed the rebellion. And now already he's about to die and here are what seem to be his last will and testament to Shlomo, who is going to take over, and for that matter has already been functioning as king in his place. So of course the obvious relationship to the Sedra is, in the Sedra it says, Vayikrivu Yimei Yaakov Lamut, the same words, and Yaakov, the time for Yaakov to die, drew near. Just as David in the Haftorah is going to give his last will and testament to his son Shlomo, Yaakov in this Sedra says what's on his mind to his 12 sons. He speaks to Yosef, he speaks to Menashe and Ephraim, he admonishes Reuven, Shimon, Levi. He expresses the uniqueness of each one of his children. And in a sense, in great measure, he prophesies the future, what's going to be with them. Maybe the greatest relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah is the fact that he says Yehuda is going to be king. It's now 1,000 years later, and you know what? Kingdom is going to be established now, the moment that the torch is passed from David to Shlomo. Shlomo is the first one in Jewish history who receives the kingship from his father. In other words, it has now gone from one generation to the next. So that exactly what Yaakov had predicted in the Sedra, it's true. 1,000 years later, it's true. It happened. It happened, in fact. Vayikrivu Yimei David Lamut, the days of David to die grew close. Vayitzavet Shlomo Beno Lemor, and he commands his son Shlomo, so saying, Anochi Holeich B'derech Kol Haaretz, I am going in the way of all of the earth. Death is the is what happens to all. The Chazak, you should be strong. Vayital Ish, you should be a man. The word Ish usually means a man of significance, a man of import, a man with strength, with determination. V'shomartat mishmeret Hashem Elokecha. You should keep you should safeguard the way of God. Lolechad midrocha, to go in his ways, lishmor chukotav, to keep his statutes, mitzotav, his commandments, mishpatav, his ordinances, veidotav, and his testimony, kakasuv v'torat Moshe, leman, as is written in the Torah of Moshe, leman taskil, so that you should succeed, at kol asher taseh, all that you will do, that kol asher tifneh sham, wherever you turn, you will be successful. So, of course, this statement is extremely significant. What he is telling them is, telling Shlomo, that everything depends on the extent to which you are You are subservient to God, and you observe His commandments. So that God shall fulfill that which He has spoken about me, saying, God told me, if your children are going to God, the way of God, to go before me in truth, with all of their hearts and with all of their souls, Lamar, then God said to me, Lo yikoret lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael. No man shall ever be cut out from you from upon the throne of Israel. It will be an eternal throne as long as they keep the condition. The condition is the fulfillment of Torah and Mitzvot. Before we go on to the next part where the real difficulties are going to begin, I think we should just define what's the difference between lolechet bedrochov, to go in his ways, lishmor chukotav, mitzotav, mishpotav, edotav. These are not synonyms. If you turn over on the other side, there's not much on the other side. How do you like that? All I have over there is the Mitzudas David, but it's an important Mitzudat David. Third line. Pasuk Gimel, Mishmeret Hashem. You should keep Hadvarim Asher Tziva Hashem L'shomron, that God has commanded that you keep them. Ve'el binatcha al tisha'ein. Don't depend on your own intellect. Very important thing that David HaMelech is telling Shlomo. Don't depend on your own intellect. We've talked in the past about the great dangers of the human intellect. I've been down for about 10-15 years. I'm down on intellectuals, you understand. I don't have too much respect for them, because they can make the worst mistakes of all, and even more than that, they can justify every one of their mistakes and even try to convince you that it's not a mistake, but it's brilliant. So here, Shlomo HaMelech, who's Chacham, he called Adam, wiser than all other men, and David knows this. He tells his son, keep Torah and don't depend on your own intellect. Lolechet bidrachav. So here, the Mitzudos is now simply going to translate and explain each one of the expressions in the Pasuk as we understand them from the totality of Torah. To go in the ways of God, lihiyot rachum v'rav chesed kamohu. To go in His ways means just as God is merciful and God is full of loving kindness, so you should go. The idea of lolechet bidrachov happens to be one of the most significant mitzvahs in Torah. We have a responsibility to go in the ways of God. And the Gemara says, God is a consuming fire. How can we go in His ways? Just as He is merciful, so you should be merciful. Just as He is kind, so you should be kind. Just as He feeds the hungry, you feed the hungry. He visits the sick, you visit them. He consoles the mourners, you console the mourners. That's Lelechas Bidrachav. Chukotav, Heim HaMitzvot Shalonit Galut HaMeim, they are the mitzvot that their reason has not been revealed to us. V'hema k'choku g'zeiro, they are like a statute and a decree, and we don't understand. We don't understand. And it happens to be in Parashas Chukos that tells us the halacha of Pora Aduma, the red heifer. So the Torah calls it a chuka, a chok. And there the Gemara brings that Shlomo HaMelech himself said, Omarti ech koma, I thought that I was wise. Vehi, the parsha of Pora Aduma, the red heifer, rechokami meni, it's too far, I can't. I don't understand it. So keep the chukin. Mitzvotav is masha bin adam l'makom. Mitzvah is that which governs the relationship between man and God. Mishpatav, Mishpat, justice, is that which governs the relationship between man and fellow man. Eidotav, testimonies, they are the mitzvot asher tameim lahayid al niflaot Hashem. They are the ones that bear eloquent witness and testimony about the mitzvahs of God. The Yomim Tovim, Shabbos and the Yomim Tovim, Zeche lemaseh bereshit, Zeche liyitziat Mitzrayim. Those are the eidot. They bear testimony. Kishabbos. Umoyar Hashem v'hadomim leman taskil, in order that you should succeed. Rotzoloma kishetishma kol mitzvahs, when you will keep all of the mitzvahs. Taskil od mehemet kol asher taaseh. The mitzvahs is adding something. When you keep all of the mitzvahs, then you are going to be blessed with the ability to understand even more. Taskil. You will understand even more what should be done. From the wisdom of Torah, you can expand, you can expand that further. And the fact is that there are important halachot that were established by Shlomo HaMelech. Nitilat Yadayim, washing the hands before eating bread, was a takana of Shlomo HaMelech. Eruvin, the whole idea of an Eruv around the city, Eruv around a community, the whole idea of Eruv was all established by the Bed Din of Shlomo HaMelech. And the Gemara says about that when Shlomo HaMelech established Eruvin, a voice came out of heaven saying, Im Chacham B'ni, when my son is wise, Yismach Libi Gam'oni, my heart is also happy. It is God saying about Shlomo HaMelech, whom he sees as his son, that his wisdom, the idea of Eruv, is the idea that on Shabbos, in order to be able to carry within a community, we all have to be like one family. There are a lot of great ideas in Eruv. Don't ever take Eruv for granted. Forgive me if I remember my Rosh Shiva, Rav Rudiman Zeichet Tzadok L'Rocha, when I established the Erev in West Hempstead, it was most probably one of the first Erev in the United States, and I happened to meet him at a wedding, so he says, Im Chacham B'ni Yismach Libi Gam Ani, you understand. He quoted, what a comparison, you understand. He quoted the pasuk that God said about Shlomo, he quoted about me. I liked it, you know. Truth is, I forgot about it already all these 30 years until now. I just remembered it. I just remembered it now. All right. By the way, I'm just going to take out, I have to take out a moment. Sometimes, you know, I have, we're jet setters. We're a world of jet setters. You know, one week we're here, one week we're there. So last week I was in Toronto a week and a half ago, and now I have two families from Toronto whom I saw there who are here this morning. Now that they came here to Eretz Yisrael, the Rosenblums and the Wolves, and both of them are, Michael, I didn't see you last week in Toronto. I'm talking about jet setters. Fran and David Wolf and Panina and Anshul Rosenblum, by the way, they're members of what was my former shul, the Bnei Torah congregation. You were all there when I spoke Matzah Shabbos, right? Okay, very good. When I go to Chutz Lars, don't think I just cavort around and have fun. I work very hard. All right. And if I've already interrupted, I understand that... I understand that Rabbi Adler already said a few words, but I want to say about last night's dinner in honor of the... I'm not sure in whose honor it was. It may have been in honor of the Rambam. It may have been in the honor of Rabbi Wein or Rebbetzin Wein. Now, the fact is that as far as the applause is concerned, it was clearly in honor of Rebbetzin Wein. She got more applause than the rabbi or the Rambam. It's true. It's true. Very beautiful dinner last night at the David Citadel, you know, the Hoi Polloi of Yerushalayim. We rubbed shoulders with one another at the first showing of Rabbi Wein's new film, The Rambam. Very nice. All right, okay. That was just, you know, just in the middle over there. Let's go. That's in order to get you ready for the next part of the Haftorah. The next part of the Haftorah. Let's go back to the Haftorah. Pasuk Hey. Regam Atoya Dato. I would say that David HaMelech is now getting down to business. Regam Atoya Dato, you know it, Asher Asali Yoav Ben Tsruya, you know what Yoav Ben Tsruya did to me. Asher also L'Shnei Sorei Tzivot Yisrael, what he did to two commanders of the armies of Israel. La'avner Ben Ner V'La'amasa Ben Yeter V'Yahar Gein, he killed them. Vayasem demei milchoma b'sholom, he made the blood of war in peacetime. Vayitein demei milchama, there was the blood of war b'chagorato, in his belt, asher b'matnav, that's on his loins, u'b'na'alo asher b'raglav, and the shoes, the sandals that are upon his feet. Yoav ben Tsruya was the trusted and faithful commander-in-chief of the armies of Israel during the entire period of David ruling as king of Israel. Talking about 40 years. 40 years. Commander-in-chief. Yoav ben Tsruya is not only a commander-in-chief. Yoav ben Tsruya is a nephew. He's Mishpucha. Tsruya was the sister of David. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that Tsruya is a man's name. Tsruya was the sister of David. Yoav ben Tsruya. Yoav ben Tsruya. There are also two brothers that he had who were also mighty warriors for David. Here is the man with whom he went through thick and thin for 40 years. Anybody who learns through Shmuel Beit, you see, and in parts of Shmuel Aleph, Yoav ben Tsruya walked hand in hand with him. He was his might and he was his strength. Rashi brings the Gemara at one point who says that David was able to write Tillim and study Torah because Yoav went to war. And Yoav succeeded in war because David was not only writing Tillim, he was saying Tillim. He was Tillim. And you know what David now tells Shlomo? Vasita kachochmatecho, do as your wisdom will lead you. Don't let him go in peace down into the grave in his old age. He shall not die of old age on his bed. Yes, then. Okay. What does David have against Yoav ben Tsruya? Because there were two people whom he killed with great treachery. One was Avner ben Ner. Avner ben Ner was the commander-in-chief of the forces of Shaul, the opposing commander-in-chief. After the death of Shaul, he did not accept David as king, but he attempted to make the son of Shaul, Ish-Boshet, as king. And after 2 years of that, he decided, no, it's all over. David is going to be king. He comes to Hebron. He sends a message. He wants to speak to David. He comes to Hebron. They make peace. You understand? Make peace. Yoav ben Tsruya hears that Avner has been there. He finds a means by which to meet with Avner. and he runs him through, kills him. Amasa ben Yeter was the commander-in-chief of the forces of Avshalom, the greatest tragedy in the life of David, when his own son rises up in rebellion against him. David has to flee from Yerushalayim, you understand? David flees from Yerushalayim with a few hundred men in those psukim, that unbelievable chapters in Tanakh, to describe how David is making his way out of Yerushalayim because his son is on the way with his far, far superior forces to Yerushalayim. And they describe how he's going up Har HaZeitim. He takes what he thinks is the last look back at Yerushalayim, and he's, for all intents and purposes, he's going off into exile. It's really toward the end of his life, the greatest tragedy of all. David's life was full of not only great accomplishment, but also a terrible tragedy. Amasa ben Yeter was the commander-in-chief of the forces of Avshalom, and he reached the point at which he wanted to make peace. And he notified David of that. And Yoav found out about that also. And he found an opportunity also to be alone with him. And it was treacherous. He sort of bent over, and unbeknownst to Amasa ben Yeter, his sword slid out of its sheath. He picked it up from the ground and ran him through. David never forgave Yoav for those two things. And now, as his life is ebbing away, he tells his son Shlomo, "Do as your wisdom will dictate. Don't let him go down into the grave." Yes. Very good question. And David himself says it. After the assassination of Avner ben Ner at the beginning of Shmuel Bet, he says, "The sons of Tzeruiah are too strong for me. I can't stand up against them. In other words, it was a crucial moment in the life of David that he could not do without Yoav ben Tzeruiah. But he tucked that away, especially the death of Avner ben Ner. He made a public declaration of mourning, because he wanted Israel to know that he had nothing to do with the murder of Avner. Never forgot it. And he now tells Shlomo, "You'll know what to do. You'll know what to do." V'levnei Barzilai HaGiladi, as David is fleeing from Yerushalayim from before his own son, he's nearly by the Yarden. He ultimately is given, he crosses the Yarden. They're exhausted. They have nothing. And an old fellow by the name of Barzilai HaGiladi, Gilad is the land on the other side of Yarden, comes with bread and figs and dates and wine, a suda for all of David's men and for the king. And he never forgot that great act of chesed. When a whole nation had abandoned David, Barzilai HaGiladi was there. So he tells Shlomo, "V'livnei Barzilai HaGiladi ta'aseh chesed, do for them kindness. V'hoyu ba'ochlei shulchanecha, they shall be those who will eat at your table. Ki kein korvu elai, because they were close to me, b'vorachim ibnei Avshalom achicha, when I fled from before your brother Avshalom." The lowest moment of my life. You never forget a chesed or a good word that somebody tells you when they're down. And here, this was not only an act of great chesed, the fact is that the man was endangering himself. And what happens if Shlomo, if Avshalom was going to win the struggle against his father, Barzillai would have been destroyed like everybody else. He placed his own life in danger. David didn't forget that. And with you also is Shimi ben Gera. We're back that day. That day, David is on Har HaZaitim, fleeing from his son, and he and his men are marching along a mountain, and on the other mountainside stands a man called Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera was from the family of Shaul, and he cries out to David, "Say, say, Ish Hadamim, go out, you men of blood." And he curses David in a terrible, terrible way. He throws stones at him. Yod Ben Tzruya says, "Let me go over and cut him down." David says, "No, leave him be." Who killalani klolani medad says, "In Hashimi ben Gera ben Ayamin." You know, the relationships over here are so intertwined. According to the Gemara and Brachas, Shimi ben Gera, who David is going to put out a contract on his life now, is the Rebbe of Shlomo HaMelech. He's his Rebbe. V'hinei imcha Shimi ben Gera ben Hayimini from the tribe of Binyamin, mi Bachurim. David was at a place called Bachurim when he's standing on the mountainside, and he threw rocks at him and threw earth upon him. For who killalani klololim chetzes? And he cursed me with a powerful curse, biyom lechti machanoim, the day that I went machanoim. Machanoim was the place where David went to on the other side of the Jordan, fleeing from his son. V'hu yadad lekrati ha-yardein. And then, when the battle is over, and David emerges victorious, Barzillai Hagiladi comes, you know, on all fours before David. And in a moment, Shimi ben Gera, what did I say? Oh, good. I need you people. I need you people to keep me on the straight and narrow. It's Shimi ben Gera who comes, and in this last moment, you know, he wants to save his life, so he comes and prostrates himself before David. And David, in the moment of weakness, says to him, "I will not harm you. He came down toward me at the Jordan, and I swore to him in the name of God, that I will not kill you by the sword. Now, you, let him not, don't hold him guiltless, because you're wise. You should know what you should do to him. Bring down his old age in blood into the grave." David lay with his fathers, and he was buried beer David. David ruled over Israel for 40 years. Bechevron, Molach, Shevashonim. In Chevron, he was king for 7 years, and in Yerushalayim, he was king for 33 years. Shlomo, Yosef, Akisei, David, Oviv, and Shlomo ascended the throne of his father David, Vatikon, Malchutoma, Od, and his kingdom was firmly established. Yes. Yes. Yeah, Avishai says, that's right. I'm sorry, I said Joab. Avishai is the one. That's right. And he didn't let him go. Because God wants him to do it. God wants him to do it. As a punishment.
Why?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. Does he feel for years that he's suffering? David feels guilty. He feels guilty because of the death of Uriah HaHiti. He feels guilty because of Bathsheba. I mean, he carries a great deal of guilt, and he'll take a look at Tehillim, and you see in Tehillim how many. The question that really emerges from this Haftorah. You know what impression you're left with over here? Pretty bad impression. You know, I was thinking of it last night. You hear the final words of the Rambam, you know, to his son before he dies. Over here, you know what you have? David HaMelech on his deathbed. Kill. Revenge. And that's it. And he dies. What? This is David HaMelech speaking to Shlomo? Blood? Kill? And that's it. That's the last will and testament. A Shina will and testament this is. Number one. And if it is no more than this that we learn from the whole Haftorah, Dayenu, it's worth it. You have to know a general rule, and many people make a terrible mistake. You cannot judge any one pasuk or parasha in Torah without knowing it all. Any particular parasha in Torah, if you don't know the rest, you have torn it out of context. There's a context here. You know what you need to know in order to understand this chapter? There are 10, 12 chapters in Divrei Hayamim that are the final acts and deeds of David. Three of them are particular to Shlomo HaMelech. These are chapters of such beauty, of such pathos, of so moving. We don't have time to learn through three chapters. But you know what? One part of his last will and testament, we say in davening every morning. Vayivor before Oz Yoshi, Vayivorech David, Et Hashem le'enei kol hakol. David blesses God. Where is he saying this? When is he saying this? Because he dies. L'chor Hashem ha'gdula v'agvura v'ateferes v'amnesu v'ahot. Kichol v'ashomayim v'oretz l'chol. When you read that tomorrow morning by davening, you remember that this was part of David HaMelech's last will and testament. The last will and testament goes chapter after chapter after chapter. Not only that, he also lists in a number of chapters everything that he has prepared for the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. David had prepared all of the materials that were necessary. They tell you precisely how much gold, how much silver, how much copper, how much metal, how much wood. He also arranged all of the Kohanim and all of the Vim, gave them their precise jobs. I'm telling you, chapter after chapter. Anybody who's going to try and understand this Haftorah without Sefer Divrei Hayamim doesn't understand what it's all about. I know what question should be going on in your mind, and it's a good question. Why does all of that appear in Divrei Hayamim, and all that appears over here is this last will and testament? And remember, even in this last will of testament, he tells him in the first part of the tzavoy is you have to go b'derech Hashem, etc., etc., etc. All those were powerful psukim. Let's not lose sight of the fact that those were great, great psukim about being rachum, being chanun, fulfilling mitzvahs, eidos, chukim, mishpatim, toros, and great psukim. That's really a much larger discussion. And that has to do with fundamental differences between Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim. I can only speak in very brief terms because that's already a shiur that can take days. Divrei Hayamim has one purpose and Melachim has another purpose. But number one, as we say, you can't understand Malachim without Divrei Hayamim, and you can't understand Divrei Hayamim without Malachim. Just as you can't understand Divrei Hayamim and Malachim without knowing the rest of Torah. And therefore, you know, I always enjoy these fellows who start off with, well, killing Amalek. They take one pasuk of Torah out of its natural context, and they're therefore incapable of understanding it. There's no way. If you haven't studied at all, you know what you need? You need a Rebbe. Anybody who's going to attempt to explain or explicate or comment on a particular pasuk in Torah, looking at it in isolation of everything else, is lost. And then, let's spend a few minutes not being squeamish about it. You know? Let's take a look for a moment. Is it really that terrible? What is David telling Shlomo HaMelech? You know, we're people who want to be part of the Machaneh HaShalom. We want to be part of the camp, the peace camp. We're opposed to death and murder and killing and all of the rest, you understand? And the world condemns us when we go in after a terrorist who's killed who knows how many Jews. There's one standard in the world, and there's another standard for us, and we get a little hot under the collar that never, unfortunately, you know, a 13-year-old girl all she was doing was playing tag, you know, in the middle of a war zone. You understand? That's all. I mean, that's all that was happening. So we get, because of all of this, we get all hot under the collar about death and murder. So there are a number of approaches to what David HaMelech is telling Shlomo. According to the Malbim and others, he's not telling him, kill Yoav. He's not telling him, kill Shimi ben Gera. He's telling him, be careful. Be careful. Watch your back. These people are dangerous. In the rebellion of Adoni Yoav ben Chagit that we learned about at the end of Parshas Chayesura, Yoav ben Tzruya was one of those who was with Adoni Yoav ben Chagit and really rebelling against the king. The fact is that al pi halacha, both of them, Yoav ben Tzruya was chayiv misa, should have been killed, and Shimi ben Gera should have been killed. These people are under sentence of death. And despite that, the Malbim says, watch your back, watch your front, be careful. These people are dangerous. Isn't that the most important thing that a father has to tell a child who's going to be the first one taking over the kingship? And he's 12 years old. Shlomo is 12 years old. He warns him, be careful of these people. You know, you can live in a dreamy-eyed world of no death and no destruction, or you can live in a real world. By the way, anybody who's going to study through the brachos of Yaakov Avinu in the Sedra and see how Rashi explains them, you know what Yaakov is telling them? You're not living in a dream world. Yodcho Yehuda, yodcho ba'orefa yevecha. Your hand should always be on the neck of your enemy. Don't let anybody stand up against you. He describes the tribes as being men of strength because Jews are going to need strength in order to survive. And therefore he points out each one of them where their strengths indeed lie. It's there throughout the brachos. You know, you get this feeling as though the brachos that Yaakov gives his children, you know, everything is so peaceful and so nice. It's not so peaceful and it's not so nice. Yaakov Avinu lives in the real world. He condemns Shimon and Levi. He condemns Reuven. And then he tells the others, what their job is going to be, where their talents lie. And that they know, they have to know there are going to be enemies and they're going to have to fight. Liyeshuotcha kiviti Hashem. When Yaakov Avinu sees in his prophetic mind's eye Shimshon going out single-handedly to wage war with the Plishtim, he prays for him, Liyeshuotcha kiviti Hashem, for your salvation, I hope, O God. So don't get the idea as though Yaakov is so peaceful. Oh, you know, it's just like, what a nice last will and testament. That last will and testament is filled with so much reality to it. But then I say, still, let's not be so, let's not get ourselves all worked up about it. I'll tell you how I understand it. We learned the Haftorah of Parashat Vayishlach, that was Sefer Ovadia. The last pasuk of Sefer Ovadia. We all know that pasuk. V'olu Moshiim Bahar Tzion Lishpot et Har Esav v'hayta l'Hashem Amalucha. There are those who are going to go up to Har Tzion and they are going to judge Esav and all of the Esavs of all of history. And then, v'hayta l'Hashem Hamalucha, God will be king. And we explain then that God's kingship in the world is seen with the eradication of evil. Because what is it that clouds and blurs our ability to see God clearly throughout history is we always have the question, how can there be evil in this world? Where is there a God in a world of Auschwitz, in a world of war, in a world of famine and hunger? The moment at which evil is punished, removed, eradicated, then all of a sudden we're able to see God with absolute clarity. And then, I think that David is saying the same thing. They're going to have to see that justice is done. There are a number of areas in which I failed. I didn't do justice. And if you want your kingdom to be established, then you'd have to make sure that people know that those who have to be punished don't go unpunished. Because the fact that evil is able to exist in the world stands in the way of Malchus Shamayim, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of man. There's very beautiful sicha musachit from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was the mashgiach of the Miri Yeshiva. The title of the shir is Nekama, revenge. Now, I some years ago I said that we have to be able to differentiate. We make a mistake and we confuse things that should never ever be confused. Revenge is a dirty word, right? I remember the days when I used to get upset every time I'd see an article in Time magazine about some kind of an act of retaliation on part of Israel against their enemies. An eye for an eye. Old Testament revenge. You understand? So what they really don't understand is that there's a big difference between revenge and retaliation. You have to know the difference between the two. If somebody beats me up, he should only dare. But if somebody beats me up, and I go beat up his little boy, you know what that is? Revenge. If somebody beats me up, and I tear him to shreds, that's retaliation. When I strike at the source of evil, it's not revenge. When I strike at the source of evil, that's retaliation. We don't know. We haven't learned this yet. We haven't learned this yet. For 10 years, we're destroying tunnels. And the more tunnels we destroy, the more tunnels they tunnel. It's unbelievable. That's not Old Testament vengeance. It's not Old Testament vengeance. That's retaliation. When you go at this against the source of evil, David HaMelech is not talking about what we understand in our messed up world as being revenge. He's talking about retaliation. These people are evil. You have to be worried about these people. You have to be concerned about them. You have to be ready, if necessary, to remove them. Yes.
Why do you have to wait for retaliation? Look what we did in the Iraq nuclear. That was not retaliation. If you say war was not retaliation, you do it before it gets
you. You're not going to get me into what the... Yeah. Sorry, I'm not getting into that. The Six Day War was a preemptive strike. That's a completely different different scenario. Has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Preemptive strike is preemptive strike. I don't have to wait for somebody to. I don't have to wait for somebody to attack me. No, no. We're sticking to Torah. Just take it easy, everybody. Huh? Yeah, that is Torah. The Gemara, by the way, the Rambam says Milchemet Mitzvah is a guy who's preparing to come against you, strike him first. So that, yeah, but I'm talking about, I'm not talking about that scenario. I'm talking about the scenario, for example, of a Yoav ben Tzruya or a Shimi ben Gera. This is not revenge. David is not telling him, oh, they were bad to me, I want to get them back. David is telling him, these people are dangerous for you. So therefore, striking them down is retaliation. I'm not saying that he has to wait until they strike him first. We never said that. We never said that. The Gemara in Brachos says about three ideas that they are great. Gedola da'at, intellect. Gedola migdosh, the holy, the sanctity, the Bet HaMikdash, the sanctuary. And gedola nekoma, great is nekoma, shenitnu ben shtei otiyot. These three, nekoma, Bet HaMikdash, and da'at, there are psukim in Tanakh where you have the name of God on one side and the name of God on the other side. Kael Nekamot Hashem. Kael Nekamot Hofia. There in the middle of the Shem Hashem, in the middle of God's name, appears the word Nekama. We have similar psukim with regard to Dat and similar psukim with regard to Bet HaMikdash. It's a Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph. What the Gemara over there is saying is don't make the mistake of thinking that when we talk about Nekama in Tanakh, we're talking about some kind of a base emotion, something that just perished the thought. There are times when Nekama is something that rises and has the wisdom of Da'at, and the sanctity of sanctuary. And we as Jews, should obviously know that better than anybody else. In his last will and testament, he's telling him that, there's something very, very holy about Nekama. We're not talking about garden variety Nekama, where the Torah says, Lo tikom velo titar. Well, Titor is a Jew who didn't hurt me. The only thing that he did is I asked him to borrow his I wanted to borrow his hammer, and he didn't lend me his hammer. I mean, he didn't do anything to me. I don't have a right to have revenge, take revenge. But when somebody has caused you terrible, terrible harm and is capable of doing it again, obviously there's a responsibility to go out and do whatever you can. There's a medrash that says the following. It's a pasuk. I think we say it Friday night in davening. Nachon kisacha me'az. Your throne is established me'az, from then. May olam ata, God, you are eternal. So the Medrash says, afal pisha may olam ata, even though you are eternal, lo nityashev kisacha, you God, your throne was not established, velo nodata ba'olamecha, and you did not become known in your world, ad sha'omru bonecha shida, until your sons said, oz yashir. You hear how the Medrash is saying it? Nachon kisacha, your throne is established in the world, may oz. From the moment that Jews said oz yashir, because at the Yam you showed for the first time in history that the evil are punished. And the moment people see that the evil are punished and God eradicates evil, from that moment on and further, God's kingdom is established. And that's why the end of the Shirat says, Hashem yimloch l'olam v'ed, God will be king. Nochon kisacho me'oz me'olam ato. What a beautiful, beautiful medrash. Lo nodata ba'olamecho, you were not known in your world, ad sha'omru bonecho shira, until your son said shira lokach nema. That's why it says, nachon kisacho me'oz. From the moment of oz yashir, that's when you became established in this world. Reb Chaim also brings the famous Gemara in Masechta Yuma, also a Gemara that we've talked about in so many different points of view. Lama Nikru Shimon Anshei Knesset HaGadola, why were the men of the Great Assembly called the men of the Great Assembly? So it says, Shehechaziru Atoro Liyoshna, they brought the crown back to its original glory. And the Gemara explains, what crown did they bring back to its original glory? Moshe Rabbeinu in Torah describes God as HaMelech HaGadol HaGibor, or HaKel HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora. HaKel HaGadol, big, mighty, fearsome. But Yirmiyahu, along came Yirmiyahu, and he sees the Churban, and he didn't say Nora. He describes God as HaKel HaGadol HaGibor, but he doesn't say Nora. But Daniel, after him, Daniel saw Jews in exile. He could not describe God as Gibor. Where is his might if his people are spread out through all out the world, and people, the nations of the world, trample them? He didn't say Gibor. Until the men of the Great Assembly came, and they, I've always interpreted as meaning the men of the Great Assembly are living in a different generation. They're not living in the generation of Churban as Yirmiyahu did. They're not living in the generation of Daniel, where he sees exile. But they are already part of those who are returning to Eretz Yisrael. So when they composed the Shmona Esrei, they described God at the beginning of the Shmona Esrei, HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora, exactly as Moshe had done in Torah. The Gemara asks, what about Yirmiyahu and Daniel? How could they change the description of God from the one that Moshe Rabbeinu had said? How could Yirmiyahu leave out Nora? How could Daniel leave out Gibor? So the great answer that the Gemara says is, Mitoch Sheyodin, because they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amitihu, God is truthful. And since in their heart, when they see destruction, They don't see the fearsomeness of God. When they see Jews trampled throughout the world, they don't see God's might. They couldn't say it. What were they supposed to do? Were they supposed to lie to God? No, they're not going to do that. So what's the Gemara really saying? The Gemara really is saying is during times when evil reigns in the world, God, so to speak, is eclipsed. God is diminished by evil in the world. When evil is punished, God rises. Nochon kisacho meyaz. What I'm saying is, we don't have to look, even if this would have been his last will and testimony, we don't have to look at this as though this is some kind of an unbecoming, an unfitting last will and testament. It's becoming and it's fitting. Because just as Malchus Shemayim, the kingdom of God in this world, can only be seen clearly when there is the removal of evil, David is telling Shlomo, be careful of that evil. Be careful of that evil. Your kingdom will be established only if you deal with it. Let me at least read. We have one, maybe one of the rare shurim that we're going to read everything that appears on the page. We don't usually do that. I have down at the bottom of the first page, I have the Abarbanel. Velo todeid sevato b'shalom sha'ol. Don't bring down in peace his old age into the grave. Shiuro, he says, the way the pasuk is supposed to understand, you're supposed to understand it, v'lotored b'sholom et sevatol l'shol, you should not bring down in peace his old age into the grave. Kloma, al tanichenu lamud b'derech hateva, don't let him die a natural death. U'bala metzudot peresh, Bala metzudot said, in shehu ish seva, though he is a man of seva, he's already an elderly man, lo tehedar panav, don't respect his face. You know, there are people who literally get away with murder in our system. He's too old to stand trial. He's too sick. He has a cough. He has a cold, you understand. He sent 10,000 Jews to their deaths, and unfortunately he's 96 years old already and he's had a bad cold. Why these guys are marachiyah, I have no idea. I have no idea. Unless what's waiting for them on the other side. What's waiting for them? Yes. V'diyek Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel. Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel said, that was an interesting choice. The next film is going to be on the Abarbanel. That was a very interesting choice. I had guessed the Vilna Gaon, but that was the second one. All right. Abarbanel. Unbelievably colorful, great man. Abarbanel says, Shabiyoav Katav, with regard to Yoav, it said, V'lo todeid sevato b'shalom sha'ol. Don't let his old age go down in peace to the grave. V'ilu b'shimi, the Pasuk writes, David says something different. By Shimi it says, V'ho radito, bring him down b'dam sha'ol. Shelo tziva et Shlomo larog et Yoav, he didn't command Shlomo to kill Yoav. What he really commanded him with regard to Yoav was, bring him down. Bring him down. You know? Take him from commander in chief and turn him into buck private. And further, the Pasuk is Medayik, the Kosav, and it says, this is the Abarbanel says, Shadonenu David lo tzivat shlomo shiharog et Yoav v'lo et Shimi. Our master David didn't command Shlomo that he should kill Yoav, nor Shimi, al ha'avonot harishonim, asher hu lo harogam aleihem. He didn't command them to kill them because of the earlier sins that they did, which for which he should have killed them, and he didn't. ולא נתן אל בנו נער ורח משוח מלך עצה מסוכנת כזאת. He would not have given such kind of a dangerous advice to his young son. And as a 12-year-old boy, he should start up with two of the most powerful people in Israel. Lohom is anshi chayil betchilat malchuto, to kill great people at the beginning of his kingdom. Aval ho yadato v'kavanato, his intent was l'sapel Shlomo, to tell Shlomo what Yoav and Shimi did against him. Kedei she yishomer mihem, he should be careful of them. V'lo yam shilein bebeito, he should not give them any kind of position in his house. Pen yigbru alav, lest they grow stronger than him. V'yasu lo, and they will do to him. Domem ashasu negdo. These guys, these fellows are capable of doing what they did to David. They're capable of doing to Shlomo. People don't change, unfortunately. For Yotachlis HaTzavor, the purpose of his will was Eitzov V'limud Eilov. It was counsel and advice and teaching. He should be careful. If they sin against him, then he has to punish them with the full, to the full letter of the law. Though David did not punish them, what they did against him, he couldn't do it. He could, David, at the particular stage at which they had rebelled against him, he could not do it. If in your days what's going to happen, don't do what I did. Don't forgive. So that's the position taken by the Abarbanel and after him the Malban, that it's all good advice. But I'm taking you one step further. With Reb Chaim Shmuel Evetz, I'm taking you one step further, that even if he meant, yes, kill them, it's perfectly justified. There's nothing wrong with it. This is, on the contrary, what has to be done, the removal of evil. Just say one more word, one more sentence. Evil creates an imbalance in the world. Evil creates a sense of something that's lacking in the world. With the punishment of evil, what happens is balance is returned to the world. A whole world is affected. A whole world is affected by it. So that eradicating evil is not being bloodthirsty, but on the contrary, it's returning a sense of life and meaning to a whole world. Of course, they bring a fortune, bring it here. Yeah, Melech Shemachal al Kvodo Ein Kvodo Machul is the halacha, and David was wrong. Except they were chayiv misa because of that. Yeah. So here, you understand? I come with this new machine, and I forgot to put it on. I know how to put it on, but I forgot to put it on. Okay. Yes. Oh, God! You were one of my first students. That's right.
In
Yeshurun. The mishpucha, Absolutely. Oh.